Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, again we give you the thanks and the praise and the honor and the glory that is yours because of who you are. And we thank you again for what you have done in our salvation. And our Father, as we have heard this morning, we thank you for the way you are so active in our lives as people. We thank you that you seek us out to be your children, that you extend to us a call and an invitation to be redeemed in Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you indwell us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is you that guides us, that teaches us, that convicts us. It is you who conforms us to the image of God's own Son, or of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, for all of that, we are grateful and we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Thank you for taking away the eternal penalty. But Father, in this past week, we have sinned against you. And we pray that you will forgive us and remind us that we are dead to that way of life, that we are alive in Christ and we are clothed in his righteousness, and that we are your ambassadors. Father, help us to desire with all our heart to be the right kind of representatives and to show people the truth, even if we don't say anything. We thank you for the great comfort and strength that you give to us as we live each day of our life. We thank you for walking with us and showing us the way. We thank you for ministering to us and helping us to learn and understand your will. And our Father, we thank you for laying your hand on Paula's dad, and we ask you to continue to bring strength to him. We ask you to bring peace and comfort to Paula and the family members. Pray that you watch over them. We think of Irene Weavers, and we pray, our God, that you'll continue to minister to them. And we would ask that there would be opportunity for folks to come to know Christ out of this hard thing called death. We know that it is in your control, and we pray that you will influence the lives of people around. And I just ask you to walk with the family and encourage them. And our Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all the ministry of Baptist Christian Church. And we thank you for these good people who work so hard. We thank you for so many who are true warriors, who give their lives to you every day, who walk with you. And now as we turn our hearts to this portion of Scripture, this great ministry of yours and doctrine called sanctification, we pray that it is you who will open our eyes and help us to see what a great thing you are doing in our lives. We love you, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are three truths that are involved in most relationship with others. And those three truths are this. First, we choose the people with whom we establish personal relationships. Most of the time, they're not forced on us. We choose who we want to be have personal relationships with. Number two, we are responsible for maintaining the relationship. All relationships have responsibilities. And number three, we determine the quality or the level of the relationship. How we interact with the other person determines how strong, how intimate, and how detailed the relationship becomes and how long it actually stays intact. Establishing a personal relationship with Almighty God is similar to that, but there are some differences. In a relationship with God, God chooses with whom he establishes a personal relationship. God is responsible for maintaining the relationship. He sets the criteria that determines the quality of the relationship. And then there is a fourth truth concerning a relationship with God, and that is the relationship to Him is eternal. Now, we oftentimes think of a relationship with God as His adopted children, and that's the positive side. But beloved, every human being has a relationship with God. It is either a relationship with Him as His adopted child, or your relationship to God is that you are His enemy. But either way, you are involved with God. All our relationships with people will end with our physical death here. But our relationship with God will last forever. We learn these truths from the biblical doctrines of election, calling, and adoption. Now, listen carefully. Listen. It is our response to God and our cooperation with Him in allowing Him to conform us into Christ's image that determines the quality of fellowship we have with God. You remember from our lesson a couple weeks ago that fellowship is a friendly association. It is a mutual sharing of experiences, activities, interests, and so on. It is a group of people with the same interest and company and brotherhood. We are all related as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as such, we have a level of fellowship because of our common interest, because of our common beliefs and the activities. And you remember that fellowship is the way the relationship expresses itself through the lives of those involved. Right? The way we interact shows the quality of the relationship. They can't be separated. We all have certain criteria for fellowship that makes the relationship thrive and grow. And in that respect, God is no different. He has given us very, very clear criteria that we must follow if our fellowship with Him is to be dynamic, thriving, inviting, growing. And we learn what some of that criteria is in the biblical doctrine of sanctification, which is the next doctrine that we're going to study as a part of what all happens in our salvation. Everything that we've talked about so far is involved in our sanctification. Calling takes a little while. Sometimes God has to call us rather loudly before we finally answer, don't we? We know He's calling. It's like times in our lives when we know that mom and dad, somebody was calling us. We heard them, but we pretended like we didn't. That happens when we're adults too, doesn't it? Men. We're aware when we're being summoned sometimes, but we have what might be considered convenient deafness. But it's only temporary. We have all that with God too, by the way. I said last week or the week before, when God begins to call us to something, the best thing to do is answer, because God is not going to stop. Our adoption is an instantaneous thing. It happens at the moment we believe. And God makes us part of His family. And we looked at that. Now I want you to listen to me, because as I have opportunity, I think it's important for me to help you understand. part of what we're doing in Sunday school at this point lays the foundation. And it's important that we understand, as a fundamental Bible-believing New Testament local church, what the Bible teaches. Our articles of faith are just a summary of that. But here's the thing. We believe, I think, that everything we do in our life is a reflection of what we believe the Bible teaches us we should do as God's children. Now, I just need to ask an open question here. Is that what we believe or what I believe? Because, see, if we say, I am a Christian, then we're saying, I have taken the opportunity to receive Christ as my Savior because I place my faith in the finished work of Christ to secure my redemption. And you've heard me say before, what we do on the outside reflects what we are on the inside. And the doctrine of adoption teaches us very clearly, at the instant of our salvation, God makes us part of His family. Okay? That's why I teach so much and talk so much about church membership. It is important that people see that we are a body united in Christ. And because adoption happens spiritually, whenever somebody joins a New Testament local family, we are adopting them into our membership. It is a physical demonstration of a spiritual truth. Sanctification is no different. God says, because I establish the relationship, I make the rules. Now, to somebody who doesn't have a spiritual background or perhaps a spiritual mindset, that sounds harsh. But you need to understand, if God didn't come get you, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You have no hope. Sin drives us away from God. It is God who calls us to Him. The prophets and Christ very clearly state, and Paul repeats it in his letters several times, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no what, no not one. There are none who seek after God. Why? Sin makes us run and hide. It is God's grace and mercy and love that causes Him to come to say, Richard, where are you? And it is God's grace and mercy and His infinite, compassionate love that softens our hearts and causes us to respond. One theologian explains that sanctification is the progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. It is a constant thing. Another way of saying that that's perhaps a little more practical is that sanctification is the gradual and progressive influence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life that causes them to exchange unrighteousness for righteousness in their daily life. You have often heard sanctification defined as meaning a setting apart or a separation, okay? And scriptures teach it in both the Old and the New Testaments. Paul is very clear about his teaching on sanctification, separation. Jesus is as well. It is part and parcel of accepting God's gift of salvation. The whole concept of sanctification is what causes the rub with liberals and legalists and hypocrites because they're not willing to humbly submit to God and allow Him to conform them into the image of Christ. Why is that? Because for God to do anything to us after He saves us, we have to say, I was wrong. Even before we can be saved, we have to say, I was wrong. My way won't get it. Only God's way will do it. It is only to the degree that you and I cooperate with God and allow Him to be the sovereign ruler of every part of our life that we become more and more like Christ. And beloved, the only way to become more and more like Christ is to allow the Holy Spirit to influence us to obey all of God's word. Obedience is very simply defined. Obedience is doing what God says, listen, doing what God says, the way God says, when God says it. Oh, I know I have to change, but I'm not ready to do that yet. You don't get to say that. At the instant God lays something on your heart, you are obligated from that point on to pay attention to what God is doing. God knows perfectly when to reveal things to you. Now listen to me again. Listen. You need to understand this when you're talking with the unsaved. You need to understand this when you're talking with the ungodly, with hypocrites, with fakes. You need to understand. An unsaved or an unredeemed heart cannot submit to God for any reason. It will not submit to His word because it is unable to allow anyone else, especially God, to be first or to be in control. Sin cannot, will not allow humility. Got that? I want to share something with you. How did I tell you have to get saved? What's the first thing you have to do? You have to come to the point where you say, my way won't work. When you say that, you're not saved yet. But what I want you to see is that if you get to the point where you say, my way won't work, I need a Savior. The influencing power of the Holy Spirit has already started to work in your heart. That's how much God wants you. That's how much God is willing to invest in you. God is willing to give you that much of a taste and say, you can come to Christ. You can. And you get to choose. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? God comes to me and He says, let me show you how this thing can work. It's possible. Now I want you to listen to this. Listen. There are fine Christian men and women, true Christians, godly men and women who struggle. It is possible for a person to be a true Christian with just gobs of evidence in their life that they walk with the Lord. And yet, in their daily living, they haven't come to the point in their life where they can feel they can trust God to teach them humility to the degree they really need it. Now stay with me. These people are not legalists. They're not hypocrites. They're true men and women of God, but for some reason, they have not come to the point in their Christian life where they're able to let others, including God, other Christian brothers and sisters, either show them or teach them a different way of doing things. Normally, these people are not arrogant or rude about this. They just have to do things their way. And beloved, I have learned that these people have more often than not been very deeply hurt. They've been betrayed. They've been double-crossed by someone claiming to be a Christian. And it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like saying, if somebody throws you a left hook, lean into it. That just doesn't even make sense. These people are hurt. And they don't need bad mouthing. They need prayer. Because they are true men and women of God, and they struggle. And you know what? If we look closely, every one of us can find that place in our life where we have not yet learned to let God be in charge, haven't we? We've all got it, okay? Sanctification says, I step back and take my hands off, and I give God unrestrained liberty to conform me into the image of Christ as He sees fit. And when somebody comes into your realm like that, you remember your own situation and you look for God to open a door. Sanctification is one of the most fascinating doctrines in all of Scripture, because it's kind of like at some point God says, okay, here's everything you need to know. Now I'm going to take my hands off and I'm going to watch. I know every choice you can make. I know every potential answer. I know everything there is to know about you, and I already know how you are going to handle the information. But I'm going to let you do it on your own. And that's the hard part. Why doesn't God just say, look, do it this way, and we say, oh, that's so much better? But God created us to learn. God created us personal beings. God wants us to learn and understand. And you know what? There are people in this room right now, and there are people in the listening audience who know if they drop dead right now, they'd not go to heaven. They don't have that assurance. There are questions in their mind. They know they need a Savior. And God is standing there saying, I've given you all the information you need. I've even given you the consequences. And people say, no, I don't have time for that. That's almost a correct statement. The correct statement is this: no, I don't have time. Period. Do you understand every second is a gift of God? Every second. And so we want to learn to take advantage of every second, because we are accountable for the knowledge we have. Did you know that? Yes. Imagine standing in front of God and Him saying, if you knew it and you understood, then why didn't you do it? What are you going to say? Do it, or don't do it. This doctrine of salvation is magnificent because it is probably the most significant demonstration that God gives to us that is Him and me working together to show God's will for me through my life. There are parts He does and parts I do. And next week we're going to start right at the beginning there with point number one. But what I want you to understand this week is we have an obligation. And beloved, listen to me. So many of you shared blessings and testimony. And there could be a lot more. You're just a little nervous perhaps to stand up or whatever the case may be. And that's okay. There's no problem with that. You still have memories. You have blessings. They are all from God because God called you and God interacted in your life in such a way that you responded. And there are many more. You have an obligation to Him to let Him make you into the image of Christ. And if you're having trouble with that, would you just ponder that this week? God's desire is to remake me into the image of His own Son. What could be bad about that? Father in heaven, I pray that You will minister to our hearts. I would ask You, Father, that in this brief introduction of this magnificent truth from Scripture, that You will visit us often and remind us that we are being remade, conformed to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that You will minister to us where we are weak, that You will strengthen us. And Father, just help us think about the fact that You initiated this whole thing. It was Your desire. So we pray that You will minister to us and prepare our hearts. We will praise and honor and glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen.